Hello, and welcome to our third and final episode of Not Your Big Brother's podcast. You already know all of us. You've been listening to us for two episodes. And today, we're talking about the ending of the book. We've all read it. We all have thoughts. We'll talk about author's intent. But does anyone want to start off with what they thought of the ending, anything that stood out to them personally?
I can start. The ending is pretty different than how I thought it would end when I first started reading the book. Basically, from the beginning, Winston had this idea that because he had bought a journal, because of the way that he acted and the fact that he didn't really believe in the party, he believed that at some point he would be found out and killed. And he was expecting that and waiting on that, but instead what happens to him is he's basically tortured into believing the party values and the party ideology, and then released back into society as someone who is fully accepting of the party and its views, and of Big Brother and everything like that. And I think that's almost worse for him. Like, he was expecting to die. He was, you know, not really concerned with that. But if Winston from the beginning of the book could see Winston at the end of the book, I think he would think that he's worse off than if he had just been killed.
Yeah, definitely, because like after they made him like submit to the party and everything, and they put him back into society, like his thoughts and everything is like, oh damn, like I'm in this whole society, I have to do what they're doing, telling me to do, even though I still don't agree with it. And it was like the way they went at it was like really like just too brutal. And I thought they should have just stopped like way earlier in the process, like after he like said he would confess about everything. But like they just like kept going, and it was just like, it was like really hard to read. And I was just like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, but I think the author was definitely trying to say something or like go at a bigger picture.
So what you're saying, Amadou, about like the torture, it was really brutal and kind of hard to read at points. They kind of just described it as like this very long process that went from like physical torture that was really brutal to sort of like dialing it back, physical and psychological. But at some point, like, they stopped doing that and they allowed him to take care of himself, and like the switch from the torture to, you know, him just being like a prisoner was very drastic. But I agree that it was like, it was very, I don't know, it was hard to read at certain points.
Yeah. I felt like they made their point. They just tried to prolong their point so that he would like really like submit 100%. So like maybe if they would have stopped like way earlier in the process, he would have still like been off and on about like the party. But like since they went through with it like all the way, maybe he was just like, oh damn, like yeah, they got all the power, like there's really nothing I can do. So like after that, he's like literally a slave.
Yeah, it's,
yeah,
as you're reading, obviously, Winston, oh, not him specifically, but like you're following him, you're gonna be, we're rooting for him, we want him, we are like, we don't want him to get punished, you know, we don't want him to get tortured more, but yeah. You know, it's not realistic, because obviously, let's say you're reading this entire book from O'Brien's perspective, we probably could be rooting for him, and he wins in the end. The torture was very extensive, but it worked. He has
all the power,
exactly, and he has no more hate for the party. Like, it was even like when he, after prolonged torturing before room 101, he, in his mind, he liked the party, in his heart he liked the party, but in its, like he said, like deep in his heart he knows he hates it, and it shows. Yeah. And that's why he went to room 101, and that's why now he loves it basically unconditionally.
Yeah,
and we were talking about that before room 101. That's where they bring out like this big cage of rats. They overheard him, obviously, when him and Julia were in Mr. Charrington's room above his shop, where he was saying that, like, you know, rats were like his biggest fear. So that's basically what room 101 is. You know, they torture them physically and psychologically and then allow them to, you know, take care of themselves, but still sort of foster the process of indoctrination and then push them to their absolute limit, to turn them as much as they can, almost 100%. We were talking about, like, Sophie, you were asking why him turning on Julia and, like, in that moment, him saying, do it to Julia, I don't care what you do to her, him, like, betraying her was the final straw. And there was this quote from O'Brien. He said, there will be no loyalty except loyalty for Big Brother. There will be no love except love of Big Brother, on page 276. So it was basically saying, like, for him to fully love and accept Big Brother, he can't have any feelings of loyalty or love for anyone else, including Julia. So yeah, what were you gonna say?
I feel like that's what the party does. It, like, strips you of everything but believing in the party and what the party, mm-hmm, like, tells you to do.
Yeah,
like, that's basically your god, basically.
Yes. I don't know where the quote is. I'm gonna try to find it, but basically, like, Winston and O'Brien were talking for a while. More was O'Brien talking to him and explaining how, like, the party doesn't have, like, rooms for friendship, love, compassion. It's all about basically hate and triumph. And it was saying, there's, like, because we obviously have talked about in the past about the relationship of marriage. I put that in quotes because it's, like, really not marriage. But they're saying, like, in the future, mm-hmm, there doesn't need to be marriage. There won't be a relationship between parents and children, father and son, because they're saying, like, basically, they're going to take the child immediately from the mother and then, like, raise them somewhere else. So they don't have any relationships except the relationship to the party, which I thought was, like,
which is insane. So sad.
Yeah.
That's just...
And what you're saying, the point you're bringing up, it sort of gets into, like, the intent behind this book and why this book was written. Every aspect of the people's lives in Oceania is controlled. And he's sort of, like, really pushing the envelope and questioning how far will people in power and the parties in power go to control their citizens and maintain power. And this is, like, very extreme. You know, everything down to their thoughts is controlled. So if we want to, like, shift into that a little bit now, I think that would be a good segue.
Yeah, and I think this kind of switches it, like, what we were just talking about, it kind of switches it from just controlling their thoughts to, like, controlling every single part of their life, which is, I feel like, an even bigger jump, because at that point, it's, like, their whole humanity, like, they don't even, like, they don't have anything anymore.
Yeah, and it's, you're almost talking about, I think it's around, like, in my book, like, 264, 265, where, like, they want to control, like, kind of, like, mind over matter, but, like, matter is in a sense of, like, everything and how they can basically say anything and every party member will believe them, where it's, like, the laws of gravity never existed. The Earth is the center of the universe, and it's, like, they can just say it and they'll believe it. And you can see Winston at the end of the book, and he's, like, this is how it goes. Maybe O'Brien was right. Maybe laws of gravity, like, aren't real. So it's, like, they really just want to have control over every single aspect of everything.
Yeah. And then that made me think of, there was a part in the book that said, said something about, like, if you're not living for yourself, who are you living for? And then that's, like, maybe that all these people are, like, living for the party. So, like, the party is giving them, like, nothing else to do but live for them, because mm-hmm, they have no lives.
What is it? And that, oh, sorry, you can go, Elliot. Oh, no. I think I was going to switch topics. You can continue. You can go.
Okay, it was kind of similar. I was going to say something about, like, how, like, the reward system they talked about, and how, like, when you take away everything, you can give someone something like really small and it'll feel like the biggest gift. And I feel like that kind of comes down to like, if they don't have any decision making in their whole life, the only like sense of victory they're getting is when the party wins. So essentially they're like forced to just become one with the party and take in those victories because that's all they have for them.
I like that way of thinking. Yeah, that was a nice way.
So sad to think about just like these small victories that they don't really even care about, but they're forced to care about. They're brain dead too. It's just like, what a bleak way of looking at it.
Yeah, and there's like no proof of the victories. Like they could be completely made up.
Yeah. So scary, like believing in something that's probably not even true.
Right, that's the thing, is like they'll never know what's actually fact and what's not. And it's more like I've come to the realization that it's less controlling what they're thinking and more controlling their mindset and what they believe. You know, they're molded to believe anything that Big Brother and the party says, regardless of whether or not they believe that it's true or false. You know, if Big Brother says it, then it has to be true.
Because... Yeah, and I was just kind of thinking about it. It's almost like O'Brien saved Winston from himself, because if Winston could never prove that, like, they were lying about all this stuff, he would just go into, like, insanity almost.
Mm. Oh, that's a good way of looking at it, because if he couldn't prove it to anyone, if he has, like, this knowledge, especially, like, what he had the photo, obviously he burned it, the photo of the three people sitting in the cafe, and obviously he shows it, O'Brien has a photo and burns it, like, it's almost a thing where it's like, did I actually see that photo? Is it real? I'm trying to explain to people that it's real and it's not. So like he would have driven to insane. That's like, I like that way. I like that way of thinking of it.
Yeah, like when it's only in their memory, that's what they're then trying to control.
One last like author intent that I kind of want to get into is obviously the role of
totalitarian.
Totalitarian. Yeah. Yes, that, I'm sorry, I'm not good with words, but
it's okay.
This book was written or came out in 1949, that it was deep into World War II, when, you know, you have these powerhouses, you have the Russian communist and the German Nazis, and Orwell didn't live to make it out of World War II, so he kind of was right to assume that this could be the start of 1984, and like how, like, this is a book 50 years in the future, and those are 50, 40 years in the future, so the people reading this book could have possibly been like, this could have been a very realistic version of what the world could have been like if, you know, the Nazis did win. And it's just like crazy to think about how this is the worst, you know, this is like the worst we've seen. It's the most extreme, where they control everything. There's no like freedom at all. But like, you know, who knows what could have happened, but this is like an interesting way to see people who are living in it, living through it, and what their perspective could have been like. But like, oh, everything could have been awful.
Mm-hmm. And you're mentioning, you know, Nazi Germany and Communist Russia, the Soviet Union. On page 272 for me, O'Brien makes a direct connection to, you know, like it's written in there. He says, the German Nazis and the Russian Communists came very close to us in their methods, but they never had the courage to recognize their own motives. And we recognize that time period, that war, that society and government as one of the worst, you know, one of the world's worst evils. So the fact that O'Brien is mentioning that, you know, they didn't succeed in ways that the party did, it's like, you can see that Orwell was really imagining a world in the future where it got worse. So it's like, you know, this being published when it was, but being set however many years in the future, is, it's like a telling tale. It's a warning, you know, for how these things can play out in the long run, you know.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's crazy when you're comparing and you're like, this government basically is like, yeah, you know, the Nazis were close, but they weren't quite there. So it's like, wow, it could have gotten worse than that. So it's like, it's weird them comparing right. themselves to it. Like, it's a good thing where it's like, yeah, we're better than Nazis, but not like, you know, in the way like humanely, like we're better. It's like, oh, we're actually worse, but we're quote unquote better because we're succeeded. Worse than
right.
It's crazy.
Like, keep playing the game of like who's worse or not.
I think we're getting towards the end. I think everyone. Then we can go around and say our opinions about would you recommend it? Did you enjoy it? Was the ending satisfying, etc. Whoever wants to go first can go first.
I'll start. I would recommend it. I think it's an important book to read. You learn a lot about how society works and you know, the ways that superpower governments come into power. It's definitely not fun to read. There are moments where, you know, I wish I could just put it down, but that doesn't mean that it's not important. It probably means that it's more important if I'm, you know, struggling to get through it. I would recommend it, but not to anyone that's, you know, younger than a certain age.
Oh, I mean, I would probably recommend it too, but like probably just so that people can get a sense of like, or like just think of like how would our society be or like government be if it was like controlled by other people with like different mindsets and stuff, and like if we didn't know about like our past or anything. I guess they get a new like a different sense of like a opinion about like what would happen.
Yeah, I would agree. I definitely think it's very relevant to the times now. I would also definitely suggest you to be at least high school or like our age in high school, like junior or senior, because I think I read this in eighth grade and it just completely blew over my head.
I was thinking like freshman year, so like I think it just really depends on like a level of understanding, I guess.
Yeah.
That's when I would read it.
Oh,
yeah, I would definitely recommend it. I agree that it's both very relevant to today, but also gives you a good perspective of what could have been, and people back then fearing for what could have happened has good ideas about like big government and like not like, you know, people like, oh, big government's bad, but like very super overbearing government. And I would recommend it to people who can grasp the understanding, where it's like, if you're younger, like if you are a freshman in high school and you think you can understand it, go ahead. But I was thinking about it earlier before you brought it up, Elliot, but I do think like this could definitely go over people's heads and be like, oh, they're just bad, but it has like, you know, deeper meaning. So that would be 100%. Read it. Go ahead. I would say read it if you can understand it.
Yeah. I feel like if someone picked up the book and like no one told them to like read it and like try to like read it in a different way to like really understand it, they wouldn't understand it, even if they were like reading it with like a 12th grade level or anything, because they would just go in it as like a regular book.
That's true. Any final thoughts from anyone before we end our little podcast series?
None from me.
Okay.
It's nice working with you guys.
Yeah. It was nice working with you. We are a good group.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you wanna say bye for our last podcast, last group assignment in college English?
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.